As always, it is a blessing to see all of you out this afternoon and to come out and assemble yourselves in the mighty name of Jesus, the Son of God. This is not propaganda as far as us saying that he is the Son of God. History has documented a literal Jesus. You can look in some of the antiquities and you can see there was a literal Jesus who lived at the time that our Bible says that he lived. And the atrocities that happened to him were well documented, not only in the Bible, but documented in secular books too. And not only that, but even the other individuals of the Bible, such as Paul and Peter, that these people are documented in the scriptures, are documented not only in the scriptures, but also they are documented in other books. And I'm just simply saying that to say that what we believe is not only substantiated or stated in the scriptures, but they are supported and substantiated by extra biblical sources. And if we saying that, well, if someone's saying, well, Jesus is only in the Bible. No, Jesus is recorded in other books too. And so it verifies and validates and substantiates. And it even gives us credence to say that this thing is a well-rounded. It meets all of the criteria as far as substantiating anything. Not only do you have reliable witnesses, but you have documentation of this too. And that's why we can rely and can say that Jesus was a literal individual that literally lived. And we can trust the records of. Appreciate that prayer by Brother Little and appreciate the saints that came all the way from Goliad to be here. Others were here last night that traveled a great distance, said they could not make it again because they traveled more than 100 miles to be here. And I have to say that is absolutely admirable that individuals would travel such a distance. I want to echo something that Brother Shan said about today's first responders luncheon. I got to commend you all. I really do. When the community sees that you all invested in the community and not just an isolated group, then the community, one, will begin to talk about you. And two, maybe even out of curiosity, they will come and see what all of this is all about. And the way that you presented yourselves today, the food was absolutely delectable, delicious. There was so much food that was there. I walked in into the fellowship hall back there, and it looked like it was Thanksgiving. And I'm kidding you not. It looked like Thanksgiving, and I commented, and I said, this looks like Thanksgiving. And the first responders came in, some in plain clothes, some in uniforms, and it probably was all of those that were on duty, and sure that if you had to get all of those that were not on duty. So this thing is rising. It is escalating, and you have to show the community. One of the things, if you go back and look at it in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 47, it says, praising God and having favor with all the people. See, it is the people of the community that saw the community of believers and how that they genuinely cared for one another. And that caring for one another was a manifestation of the grace of God. And people outside the body of Christ were seeing how that people sold their possessions and gave to every man as every man had a need. They saw how they continued daily in the temple with one accord. They saw how they went from house to house. They eat their meat with gladness and with singleness of heart. As a result of that, people were praising God and giving favor to God because of the people. And so that is why the Lord was adding to the church. We have recorded about the 3,000, and that is in Acts chapter 2, verse number 41. However, more and more people were being added as a result of the love that the people had for one another. And I can guarantee you that if there was somebody who was in need of something who was outside of the body of Christ, that people in the body of Christ gave to those needs. I am I am tickled. One of the young ladies that was there at the FCA this morning is here this evening, and we certainly are delighted to have her. After I spoke to the FCA yesterday, I spoke to some of the kids who were in school suspension and various kinds of supervision yesterday morning at the high school, and it was one young man. At the end of the session, he shook my hand and he patted me on the back. And as soon as I came out of the FCA, I turned the corner and there he was. And he was surprised and out of reaction, he just hugged me. You know, I mean, he just wrapped his arms around me, and it gave me such a good feeling to know that that a connection has been made. This has been my best trip. In speaking to the school, this really has been my best trip in going into the schools, going to the Hope School and going to the Flex School. Those kids were very attentive, and we talked with them and motivated them. They were engaged, and those seeds that you all plant, I'm not going to punish you for all of these preliminaries. My wife tells me, do not make announcements. Because I make preacher announcements, and so they go on and on and on and on. And so said that your sermon was about 20 minutes minus the announcement that took it to 45. So, but I appreciate the school system for letting someone of a religious nature go into the schools and talk to the kids. I'm not going in there preaching Christ Jesus. I'm trying to preach to them or teach to them or share with them wholesome living and give them some examples on to be as a benchmark that they could strive for. To one group yesterday, I told them, you know, you got to dig a little deeper, dig a little deeper, dig a little deeper. And it resonated with them. And then to the other group, I talked to them about what's in your cup. Because whatever is in your cup, you're going to drink it or you're going to give somebody else to drink it. And if it's nothing but a bunch of vile stuff, like people have a cold and cough, all that nasty stuff in a cup, and then at the end of the day it's full and it gives to you, give it to you and drink it. What was right? And I think they connected with that. And as I said, it has been tremendous. Along the same lines of a better, better, we've launched a concept, ladies and gentlemen, about the idea of the better, better. In Hebrews chapter 8 and verse number 9, the inspired writer tells us that we have a better covenant that was established with better promises. We have a better hope. We have a better sacrifice. We have a better mediator. We have a better priest, which is a better priesthood. We not only have that, but the angels were made a little bit better than mankind, but Jesus was made better than the angels. So Jesus was a better, better. And in those of us that have a hope of heaven, that we look for a better country. And so we've talked about this idea of the better, better, and we can go forth, and we can go forth with some degree of certainty and with a degree of confidence and let the world know that there is a better, better. And they're going to find out, what are you talking about, a better, better? Come, let me share it with you just a little bit more. We launched that, and we've been talking about that. Now, I have to admit something tonight. Tonight's lesson is not going to be very long, and it's not going to be very long simply because what I have to say is very compressed. It is all located in one place. But in preparation for this lesson, I became overwhelmed with emotions. And the reason why I became overwhelmed with emotions is this. Is that last night we talked and talked and talked about the better, better, and yet it didn't move a person to obey last night. Hopefully it moved somebody closer to obeying, but it didn't move anybody last night to obey. And tonight, what we are talking about, we are going to talk about an individual who was blind to the better, better. And I'm hoping tonight, and it scares me tonight, it scares me tonight. And the same feeling that I had tonight is the same feeling that I had after I became a member of the body of Christ. Early that next morning, 6 o'clock, my mother would get up early. I got baptized at 2 o'clock. I'm up early and my mother's up. I'm on campus. I call my mom and tell my mom, I've been saved. Well, she said, I already thought you were. No, mom, I wasn't. I found out what the Bible taught. It was the same degree of urgency that I had to call my mom and tell my mom about Jesus and about the church that he died for. And it's the same sorrow, same sadness that I have today with regards to this lesson and with regards to those who are auditing this message or listening to it. I felt sad because my mother never did obey. I go all over the country and preaching Christ and him crucified. Dozens of people inside the prisons too hear the message and say, wow, this is it. But yet, I could not find the words to convince my own mother that this was the way. And I have that same sadness tonight because there's probably somebody here who needs to obey the Lord and they are blind to the better. Our story, and every now and then it slips out when I say a story. I do not like to call the events of the Bible a story because these are not mythical. These are not fairy tales. These are not fantasies. But these are accurate stories or accurate renditions of the events in the life of Jesus. But the incident that we want to talk about involves a woman. And it does not tell us that this woman had any children. But it does tell us that the woman had a man. Not only did she have a man, but she had a string of 5 others in her past. It tells us about a woman who was so isolated and maybe ostracized by her community that she came down to the watering hole, which was a necessary thing, came down to the watering hole at a time when others, especially other women, were not there. It is an incident that happened around a place called Jacob's Well, John chapter 4. You can turn there if you don't mind. But in this particular incident, there is this woman. And what happens, ladies and gentlemen, this woman is blinded to the idea of a better. Yes, she has a concept about religion. She has a concept about God. But what her concept about religion and her concept about God, it is surely inadequate. When she comes to the well, she finds Jesus already there. Jesus does not come to the well after the woman, but the woman comes to the well and finds Jesus already sitting there. And when she comes, Jesus asks the woman, she comes bearing a water pot, a pitcher, something to draw the water from the well with. And the Bible says that Jesus tells the woman, give me a drink. Jesus asks the woman for a drink of water. And the woman is already defensive because she is blind to the better. And she says, how is it that you, being a Jew, ask me a drink, being a woman from Samaria? Do you not know that Jews have no dealings with Samaritans? Woman, you're not understanding. A better. What he comes promising and what he comes offering is a better relationship. Not only a better relationship between man and God, but he comes offering a better relationship between man and man. Something that had never, ever been offered in all of the annals of history. That someone comes offering universally a better relationship between common man and an eternal God. Not only that, but better relationship between man and man himself. This, ladies and gentlemen, this has been on the blueprint written down by God since the very foundation of the world, that men would have a better relationship with one another and men would have a better relationship with God himself. A better. The woman is not seeing it because she is defensive. She's already pointed out, you're a Jew, I'm a Samaritan. Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Samaritans have no dealings with the Jews. The Jews think that we are second-class citizens, that we are some kind of hybrid because we are part Jew and part Samaritans. And here it is, we don't like you Jews because you look down your noses at us. A better. He comes offering a better relationship between man and God. You all remember the time early on in Jesus' ministry. Jesus is recruiting his disciples. And one of the disciples goes and finds a guy by the name of Nathanael. And Jesus tells, Nathanael, I saw you when you were sitting under the tree. And in a moment of an epiphany, he says that you are the Christ. And Jesus tells him, if you believe simply because I say that I saw you sitting on the tree, what will you do when you see the heavens open? What is he talking about, Anderson? He's talking about an incident that happened a long time ago when Jacob was leaving his home. He's leaving the place of his nativity. He's leaving his birthplace. He's going somewhere because he's running for his life. And when he runs, he falls to sleep in a place called Bethel. And in Bethel, Jacob has a dream. And in the dream, he sees the heavens open. And stretching down from heaven is a ladder. And on that ladder, angels are going up and angels are going down. Angels are going up and angels are going down. Jesus says, I am that ladder, that in me man meets God, and in me God meets man. I'm here to give you a better relationship with God. A better. Yes, the Jews may look down their noses at you. They may consider you second-class citizens. They may think that you are a hybrid. But I'm offering you a better. What are you, being a Jew, would ask me, a woman of Samaria, for water? Interestingly enough, you go down just a little bit, about verse number 27, when the disciples come and they find Jesus talking with this woman. The wording, at least according to the New King James Version, they come and they see him talking to a woman. It is insinuated in that not only is he talking to a woman, but he's talking to a Samaritan woman. But they said nothing with their mouths. But Jesus, he read their thoughts. Verse number 35, he says, lift up your eyes. The harvest is already white. Those disciples, those 12 that went into the city, they were prejudiced. They came and they were prejudiced. They only saw this woman and they prejudged the whole situation. They did not see this woman grow from calling Jesus a Jew to calling him sir, to calling him a prophet, and shortly she's going to call him the Christ. He came offering a better relationship. Look around yourself. In this room tonight, there are brown people. There are dark brown people. There are lighter than brown people here tonight. And we're not at one another's necks. And that's the uniqueness of the body of Christ. The body of Christ is not black, white, or brown. The body of Christ is blood bought. And if there's a color of anybody, everybody ought to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. That's how it is in the body of Christ. And if anybody has a problem because of my ethnicity, you got a problem with God. You ain't got a problem with me. And guess what? I'm going to say it tonight because I don't have to apologize to anybody because I'm leaving Friday. And if you got a problem with my ethnicity, you're going to have some gate trouble too. Yes, you will. I don't care how much you give, how much you preach, how much you read. You got a problem with somebody's ethnicity, you got a problem. This is, ladies and gentlemen, this is the mystery that was hid from the foundation of the world. Romans chapter 16, verse number 25. The mystery that was kept hidden in other ages has been revealed. What is the mystery? That both Jew and Gentile would be one in Christ. Woman, if you only knew this, if you only knew, I'm telling you about the better, better, about the better, better. Ladies and gentlemen, and this is the truth, and as I said, I'm not going to punish you for all of those preliminaries. When I see a member of the body of Christ, I get so excited. I really do. I get so excited. Sometimes we meet one another in Walmart on aisle 12. Amen. Hey, Freddie. Hey, how's it going? Then another member comes up. Say, what? Hey, how you? Hey, I almost want to have two songs and a prayer. You know, right there in aisle 12. Because if I'm thinking about spending eternity with you, I got to have a relationship with you down here. And so this is what he's telling the woman. Woman, you're not recognizing the better, better. You are blind to the better, better. You're blind to it. Jesus is helping that woman. And she says, why would you ask me a drink? Jesus says to the woman, woman, if you only knew the gift of God and he who asked you for water, I got to break this down. I have to kind of look at this partially. If you only knew the gift of God, notice the spelling of it. It is not G-I-F-T-S, and maybe some other translations have it, but my translation renders it, if you knew the G-I-F-T of God. What is the gift of God? The G-I-F-T of God is Jesus himself. If you only knew the gift of God, if you knew the better, better, and he who is asking you for water, by the way, he is the gift of God. John chapter 3, verse number 13. No man has ascended up to heaven, but he that comes down from heaven is talking about the gift of God. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. It's talking about the gift of God, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Verse 16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. That is the gift. Most of us, we give a gift and it is wrapped up. Nobody knows what's inside the gift. That ain't the way God did it. God's gift came unwrapped. Came in the person of Jesus. Then he says in John chapter 3, verse number 17, for God sent not his son into the world to condemn it, but that the world through him might be saved. Ladies and gentlemen, I want to say this is just a sidebar. I learned that in the OJ trial. I did, really did. But this is a sidebar. The homes that we must create for our families, that we should put a sign in the front of our homes and say, a better, better home. A better, better home. Oh, yes. That's what I try to do at my house. A better, better home. So that when my children are having difficulties, I cannot monitor, I cannot manage what the person on the street says in the school. But when you come home, you're not coming home to, you're not coming home to a blistering verbal assault from daddy. You're not coming home and talking about, I wish I did. No, you're coming to a better, better home. You want to run home. Run home. My wife, when our children come home, my wife starts thinking, when they going to their house? You done made this home too good for them. You need to break their plates so they don't come back anymore. My son went off, we went to school over there in Arkansas and at Searcy at Harding, and when my son would come home for during the breaks, he would literally stand in the with the refrigerator door open, looking inside the refrigerator and say, y'all have so much food. I'm not lying either. And I'd go up and close my refrigerator and say, yeah, we do, don't we? We do. You want to create a home that you can put a sign in front saying, a better, better home. A better, better home. Woman, if you only knew the gift of God and he who is asking you for water, Jesus is the gift of God, and he is asking this woman for water. Let's press on just a little bit further. Jesus tells this woman, listen, I can give you water. Well, you'll never have to come to this well and draw again. I can give you living water. And this woman says, give me this living water. Who can give me this living water? I'm beginning to see this better. And that's the thing we got to realize, that at the very beginning, and I'm folding up my notes and putting them in my Bible, that at the very beginning, this woman was blinded to the better, better. She began to see it. Who is he that can give me this living water that I'll never have to come to this well again? I'm beginning to see it. Later on, the woman says that about verse number 23, that our fathers, we worship in this mountain. You worship down in Jerusalem. Woman, a better, better is coming, because the time is coming when you shall neither worship in this mountain nor in Jerusalem. That there will be a religion without walls, because this thing is going to inhabit, is going to infect the whole earth. That people from every nationality, that every tongue and every tribe will be a part of this thing. If you only knew the gift of God and who he that is asking you this. For God is a spirit, verse 24. And they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Ladies and gentlemen, it may be recorded in the Victoria newspaper, the Port Lavaca newspaper, the Port Lavaca Church of Christ have some tiles missing, you know. Port Lavaca Church of Christ don't have any tiles missing. The Port Lavaca Church of Christ suffered loss in the storm. Well, did anybody, you know, get really hurt? No, the church is not made of brick and mortar. The church is made of people. And the church is without walls. The church does not have walls. And that's what the world has to understand. A better, better. The woman wasn't getting it. But about verse number 29, after the Bible says that earlier verse, she drops her water bucket and she goes into the city and she tells the men of the city, come and see a man which has told me everything about myself. The New King James Version says, and she says, could this not be the Christ? This woman was, the reason why she is saying, could this not be the Christ, was because she was being a little careful with the individuals. Because early on when she says, who is it that can give me this living water? And we have heard that Christ should come. And he tells her, I am he. You know, ladies and gentlemen, I have had a lot of discussion with a lot of folk. I have discussions with Muslims. And Muslims say that Jesus never said that he was the Christ. And he never said that he was the Son of God. They were wrong on both accord. Because right there in that verse, he said that I am the Christ. I'm he. Then John chapter 9, after Jesus healed the man that was born blind, the man did not know that who Jesus was. He did not know who he really was. Because when the Pharisees asked him, or when the Sanhedrin asked him, who was it that healed you? The man says, all I know is that I was blind, but now I see, and his name is Jesus. They put the man out of the synagogue. Jesus finds the man And Jesus asked the blind man, "Believest thou on the Son of God?" And the blind man said, "Yes, show him to me and I'll believe on him." Jesus says, "I am he." A better, ladies and gentlemen. The lady was blind to it. And she no longer was blind to it. I'm going to have to tell you, ladies and gentlemen, in my very simplistic way of letting you know what I'm all about. The only thing that Freddie Anderson is all about, I'm trying to find what God is trying to do, and I want to get in on it. I'm just trying to find out what God is doing, and I want to get in on it. And that should be all of our attitudes. What God is doing, oh, I want to get in on it, and I want to stay in on it. A better. The men of the city is convinced of this woman. They go out to investigate themselves. And the Bible does not teach it, does not tell us, but evidently Jesus stayed with them for a while and he taught them. And they tell Jesus, "We don't believe because of what she said, but we believe because of what we heard and what we seen." She was blinded to the better. We must not be blinded to the better. We must not be. Go back and look at that story. I'm not garnishing anything, and I'm not trying to make this thing better nor bigger than it really was. But I gave you a true depiction of what the event or the incident was with this woman. At first, she was defensive, blinded to the better. Little by little, her eyes began to open, and she began to see the better. What should we want? We should want that better. And we should grab hold to it and not relinquish it. There was a situation that happened in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas, and interestingly enough, Luke is there too in Acts chapter 16. Luke is there. Luke is right there when this whole incident happened there at Philippi with this girl with the spirit of divination. And the Bible says that this girl pestered Paul and Silas and the brethren many days. These men are servants of the Most High God who come to bring to us the gospel or the way of righteousness. And after pestering Paul for many days, Paul fastened his eyes on her and cast out the demon. The guy that had this woman in hire, he brought accusations against Paul and Silas. Don't know how Luke got away, but Luke was not charged. And they took Paul and Silas and they put them in jail. Verse 25, they began praying to God and they began singing songs. God heard them, sent the earthquake. The Philippian jailer thought that everybody had left because the gates were open, the doors were open, the chains were loose. But Paul said, "Listen, man, we're all here. Don't hurt yourself." He brought in a light, and when he saw they were all there, he fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas and asked the question, "What must I do to be saved?" That's the exact question that he asked. What must I do to be saved? Paul and Silas told him, "Believe in the Lord, and you and all your house will be saved." The same hour of the night, they took him out, and the jailer washed Paul's stripes from where they had been beaten and where they had been abused. But then after that, Paul washed the stripes of his sin with the blood of Jesus Christ. He baptized the Philippian jailer well after midnight. It's not even 8:00 tonight, and you can be baptized. We don't have to go down to the pond. We don't have to go down to the bay. We don't have to go anywhere. We can go right here because there is water on the other side of that wall. There is water on the other side of the wall, right? All right. Okay. All right. I told you before I was in a situation a couple of days I preached, there is water on the other side of the wall. Somebody came forth to be baptized. There was no water on the other side of the wall. But there is water on the, you don't have to use your own clothes. You get clothes to be baptized in. You can dry up with a towel and put on your dry clothes and the clothes you came in with. We're just making it just that convenient for you. The reason why this woman was blind to a better was because of her preconceived ideas. And that's why I'm scared tonight I have that same jittery feeling, with the realization of my mother not obeying the Lord. Same jittery feeling. And I came to you with the same degree of urgency that I called my mom 6 o'clock that morning after I was baptized at 2 o'clock that night. Got up early, had to call mom. First person I called, mom, I'm saved. Yeah, because she was just that important to me. I wanted my mom to hear the same way that I would want you all to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ tonight. So you come by believing, repenting, confessing, and being baptized. And then subsequent to your baptism, baptism will wash away your sins. Baptism will clothe you in Christ, Galatians 3:27. Baptism will put you into the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Baptism will make you a new creation, because if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. The question comes up, how does a person get into Christ? We are baptized into Christ. I'm scared tonight for somebody who will not obey the Lord. I'm not a prophet, and I'm not prognosticating that you ain't going to have tomorrow. I pray you have many tomorrows, enough time for you to obey. But don't stretch it out and tempt faith. Come tonight. Come as together we stand and sing. Now is your time.